sing that. Let's sing that chorus. Let's sing the chorus. Yes, it goes. Yes, in Him I'm fully trusting. Yes, in Him I'll conquer all. For I know He saves and keeps me, and through Him we'll conquer all. Let's sing it. Yes, in Him I'm fully trusting. Yes, in Him I'll conquer all. For I know He saves and keeps me. And in Him I'll let me. Brother Rom, come on, let's sing that again. Yes, in Him I'm fully trusting. Yes, through Him I'll conquer all. For I know He saves and keeps me. Well, sir, thank you very much, Betty. Thank you. It's a privilege to introduce our speaker tonight. He and Tori are classmates at Bob Jones University many years ago.
Yep.
And he's a convert of Jimmy Rose, who's a convert of Harold Seidler, so he's got a pretty good heritage. And he's a Brazilian Jimmy Rose is what he is.
Yes, sir.
And he's done a great work for God in Brazil. I'm glad that we've supported this man all through the years. He's been, I don't know how long he's been supporting Brother Rom, but he started a great church there in Goiânia. I don't know where they're in, 300 or 400 in Sunday school. And he started another church in Goiânia, running about 100, and went up down to Londrina. And in 18 months, he had a church built and a radio program every day, and left there with them running about 100 and two or three staff members. Now, that's a miraculous thing. And he's doing it he's on the radio every day, I think, still. He's still on the radio every day across Brazil. So I'm glad that we support a man of God like Brother Rom Rivera. Glad to have his wife, Rachel, and their daughter here tonight. Welcome to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church.
Thank you, Pastor. How many of you are glad to be here tonight? I am. I am sorry that I missed Pastor Jody, but you please tell him I'm leaving behind the Brazilian hug. Who would like to give him the Brazilian hug? How about the strongest man in the church? So you go to him and say, I have something for you from Brother Rom, and give him a tight Brazilian hug. He might say it's a bear hug. It's almost the same thing. It's so good to be back here and to see Pastor Leslie. What a blessing he has been to us also throughout the years. He has been in our churches several times, preaching there for us. And we are very grateful for the love that he always showed towards our ministry in Brazil. And also this church, for all that you have done for us. We are going to show a 5-minute DVD presentation tonight. And the idea of showing this to you is to help you to always be excited about missions. We are an extension of your church in another country. We are a part of this church. That's why when Brother Gary asked the visitors to stay, you know, sitting, I didn't. I stood up because I'm not a visitor. I am an extension of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Amen. In Brazil. Amen. And whatever we are doing in Brazil, we are doing together. That's why you have to watch us and keep up with us, because if we are doing right, we are doing right. If we missionaries are doing wrong, we are doing wrong. Because we are a team, and what a blessing. Because what I'm going to show here tonight, you have a big participation in the ministries that we have accomplished there in Brazil. And you know I'm the result of missions, and I love missions, because everything I am and everything I have, I owe to missions. Since I was saved when I was 12 years of age, I have been involved in missions, giving, going, and now I'm a missionary myself. So I'm excited about missions, and I know missions is the mission of the church. Dr. Seidler used to say, when a church is not missionary-minded, that church has no reason to exist. And he was right about that. The only reason we are here as a church is to spread the good news, is to help people to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, here at home and abroad. So no wonder I see so many flags here tonight, and of course, a very special flag, that one over there. Brother Gary, which flag is the third one here? Yes, 170 million people, and Brazil is the fifth largest country in the world. Sometimes people come to me and ask me, do you know so-and-so in Brazil? You know, Brazil is a big place, isn't it? Amen. That's Nathan there, isn't it? Hi, Nathan. It's good to see you. So, Brazil is so big, and we are the largest country in South America. If you go to the map and you see Brazil is the largest one, and we speak Portuguese, we don't speak Spanish. The only country in South America that doesn't speak Spanish, only Portuguese. But it is a wonderful country, open to the gospel. Amen. And a needy country. And we are there establishing Bible-believing churches, and God has been so good to us. But, you know, because we have churches like your church behind us, making our ministries possible in Brazil. So may God continue to help you, to follow the leadership of this church, and to really think about missions. The Bible says, actually Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things shall be added unto you. So it doesn't matter if this is a recession time, it doesn't matter who is in power, in government, if you continue to put God first, God will always supply the needs of this church. And what a blessing to see so many people here tonight for our evening service. And also tomorrow is a holiday, isn't it? And yet to see so many people here, to God be the glory. But I'm very, very grateful to see all of you here tonight. Now, how many of you are understanding my English? Raise your hand. Let me change the question. Who is not understanding my English? Pastor, this church still has the gift of interpretation. Because if you prefer, I can preach in Portuguese and Nathan can translate in English.
Some of them have the gift of tongues too.
Well, some of us have the gift of tongues. Well, let me say this to you. I came to this country and I didn't know any English in 1988 to study at Bob Jones. And as I have told you many, many times, just one semester later, I was speaking English. And now I not only speak English, but I speak Southern English. I have been around Tori Leslie enough to know how to speak Southern English. Y'all be careful now, you hear? Am I doing okay? If I am not doing well, blame on my teacher. He's teaching me wrong. Well, folks, we are going to watch the DVD now. And all I want you to see is what we are doing together by the grace of God. We are going to show in 5 minutes what the Lord has allowed us to do in the last 16 years. 16 years. But before I show the DVD, let me introduce my family once again. Rachel, my wife, would you please stand up? That's my wife. And Roxanne, my youngest daughter. Rochelle is not here tonight, because she's at Bob Jones, freshman. She's crying about every day, missing mom and daddy, and I'm crying about every moment, missing my daughter. So you pray for all of us that God will give us grace. You know, we don't raise our children for ourselves, and we need to come to that point one day in our lives. Pray that God will give her grace and help her to succeed there as a student. And may God do his will in her life. Rachel, she is the third generation of missionaries in her family. She's the daughter of missionary Tom and Linda Gilmer. They have been missionaries in Brazil for more than 40 years now. She was born and raised in Brazil. So she speaks English like you. She speaks Portuguese just like me. She has dual citizenship. And then, of course, her grandparents were missionaries in Mexico until they died, more than 55 years, missionaries there in the country of Mexico. What a privilege to be a part of this family, a family of missionaries. Rachel has uncles and cousins. There are missionaries all over the world tonight. And I'm very grateful to be a part of this beautiful family. Tonight, we have in our table, in the lobby there, our newest prayer card. It's a prayer card that you can use in your Bible, put in your Bible as a bookmarker. And this prayer card will remind you to pray for us. This is the newest picture. Now, some people, more than one, they see the prayer card and they say, Brother Ron, what a beautiful family you have, beautiful daughters, but where is your wife? My wife is here, folks. She's not my daughter. But some people, they think I have three daughters rather than two. And then they, wow, but she looks so young. Why is that? I say, because she has a good husband. So when a wife has a good husband, she will look always young, right? So men, if your wife complains about your gray hair and the wrinkles around your eyes, just say, it's your fault, and vice versa. On the back of the prayer card, the churches we have established, also the Bible Institute, we have graduated more than 45 students in the last 10 years. And then the Christian school we established last year. The Lord has been good to us. Right now, we are beginning the fourth church, and this fourth church is well underway. And I give God all the glory. And then we have this musical CD in Portuguese that some people from the mother church there in Goiânia, the first church we established, they recorded this CD. Now, it's not professionally done. It has nothing to do with being professionals, because this recording was done in the church building, not in a studio. But the reason they did that was for you to hear their voices worshiping God in another language. Because these are people that you have helped us to lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're not going to probably meet them before heaven, but you can hear their voices. And they're singing songs that we would recognize in English. And this is real conservative Christian music, Brother Gary, I promise. So don't be afraid. And you can go by the table after the service and you can get one of these CDs, one per family. We want you to have it in your house, and every time you listen to this CD, you will remember to pray for us. Because that's what we need the most, your prayers, because the devil, he's working hard, he's attacking us from all sides, and we need help. And the main help we can receive from you tonight is your commitment to pray for the Ribeiro family. It's very easy to remember our names, because we are the R family. Ron, Rachel, Rochelle, Roxanne, and even my dog, he's a mean dog, and his name is Rainbow. So you can remember to pray for all of us. If you don't want to say all the names, just say, God bless the R family. How? With your provision, with your protection, with your power, and with your presence in their ministries and in their lives. During this 1 year furlough here in the States, we are trying to raise funds to build the Sunday school building of the fourth church. Because if we can build the Sunday school building, we can start having meetings in that building. The church, the building of the church, we don't need to build it, because CWE, Construction for Worldwide Evangelism, has promised to come and build the church building for us in 2012 if they can find enough volunteers. And I hope they will. And if they come, they will not only build the church for us, but they will give us 75% of the total cost on materials. Isn't that good business? Yeah. Not only the labor, but also the material. So we have to come up with 25% of the total cost on the church building. But the Sunday school building, it is our responsibility. And these are small buildings. Now, just to give you an idea, the church building will be big enough only for 180 people. So it's a small building, but we don't need bigger than that. But we do need to take care of the Sunday school building. We have about 4 to 5 families already in that city called Aparecida de Goiânia. We have the pastor to go to that church, but we don't have the place yet for the church to meet. So please pray that God will enable us to raise enough funds to build the building and to have the church there as soon as possible. So now we are going to watch the DVD, and after that I'll come back and share some portion of the Word of God with you.
This is where everything began, on November 28, 1993, less than a month after moving to Goiânia. Rom, Rachel, and one-year-old Rochelle began Maranatha Baptist Temple in a precarious shed in their backyard. Just 3 months later, they were averaging 40 people attending the church services faithfully. During Sunday school, Rachel taught the children in their living room while Rom taught the couples in the shed. This first church grew with entire families. Though young, Rom had to quickly become a family counselor. Families were rescued from separation and divorce through the teaching of God's Word. A year later, about 70 people were packing in for the Sunday services. They had to move. Rom rented a larger building where the church met for the next 6 years until, once more, the building was overflowing. With the help of their American sending churches, the Riberos acquired a piece of land and built an auditorium. In November of 2000, they dedicated the auditorium exactly 7 years after they had held their first service in the shed. Rom's mother, who prayed for him to become a pastor when he was a little boy, passed away on the day of the dedication of the new building. 40 students have graduated over the past 10 years from the church's Bible Institute and are now serving as pastors and missionaries, as well as in various leadership positions in their local churches. In March of 1998, Rom sent Pastor Marcelo and his wife Patricia, along with 25 people, including several Bible Institute students, to establish our second church, Ebenezer Baptist Temple. Our church people gave sacrificially and bought a piece of land on which CWE, Construction for Worldwide Evangelism, built an auditorium in 16 work days. In January of 2004, the Riberos took a leave of absence, leaving the mother church under the care of two pastors who had graduated from the Bible Institute. They went to the south of Brazil to establish their third church in the city of Londrina. The Lord blessed. Maranatha Baptist Temple of Londrina was established in exactly 18 months. When the Riberos returned to Goiânia, over 100 people were faithfully attending the services. They left the church under the care of two national pastors, plus missionaries Dan and Jerry Johnson. Today, all three churches are sound in doctrine, as well as self-supporting and missionary-minded. Rom and Rachel invited me, Bethany Thompson, to start a Christian school through their ministry in the city of Goiânia. Jimmy Rose Christian School, named after Rom's pastor, opened its doors in January 2009. I also participate in the fruitful ministry among the deaf at Maranatha Baptist Temple, along with Carl and Cindy Johnson. Through the sacrificial giving of God's people, both in the USA and in Brazil, the Riberos have acquired a piece of land for the fourth church. There are several families from the mother church who will be sent to this new location, along with Pastor Everton and his wife Claudia, to begin a new congregation. The goal is to first build the Sunday school classrooms and then the auditorium of this new church. Please pray that the Lord will bless this project as he has all the other ones with wisdom and financial help. Rom and Rachel's desire is to establish as many churches as possible until Jesus comes back or takes them home. the Riberos realize that their ministry is only possible because of the love and generosity of their American sending churches. Thank you for everything you have done to make their ministry possible. Ram is especially thankful to missionaries Jimmy and Nancy Rhodes, who won him to the Lord and gave him the missionary vision that he has today. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28:19.
What a blessing when Tori Leslie was with us, helping us especially with the music, ministry of the church, and teaching. I really enjoyed the time that I spent with Tori, or the time he spent with us there in Goiânia for a few months. When I met Tori many years ago, he probably remembers I didn't know English very well, but he was patient enough to teach me. He even helped me a few times with my speech classes. And what I liked the most about Tori back then was the love that he had for Brazil. Here I was, a stranger in this country, in a big school, and I met this American from East Tennessee that was praying for Brazil and someone who loved Brazil. So I was very excited. And I think because he loved Brazil, I loved him back. That's normal, isn't it? To find someone who loves your country and your people. And I know Tori loves Brazil to this day. And we are very grateful for all that he has done for us as a people for these many years he had been there as a missionary. And I can say the same thing about the foreign family. Were you born in Brazil, Nathan? Some of your,
Katie
was born in Brazil. So Brother Grant and his family, what a blessing. These missionaries have been there in Brazil. And I'm so fortunate to have them as my friends. Would you please open your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 4. And if you are able, please, let's stand up and read verses 1 and 2. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What's that in thine hand? And he said, A rod." Tonight I want to preach, "What's that in thine hand?" Let's pray. Father, what a blessing to be here. What a blessing to see Pastor Leslie again and to be, Father, with these precious people. What a blessing to be behind this pulpit. But I need you, Father, to help me to be a blessing back to your people. Use me in a very special way to bring the word of God tonight to their hearts. Speak to all of us, Father, and help us to live here tonight, understanding what God tried to tell us through his word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. It doesn't matter if it's here in the States or there in Brazil. When the Lord is asking us to do something, we all have the tendency to give him the same excuses, such as, "I don't have time," or "I don't have talents," or "I don't have money." But since I got saved when I was only 12 years of age, I have learned a very important lesson. The ways of the Lord are higher than my ways, and the thoughts of the Lord are higher than my thoughts. I have met many people that are disappointed at God because they wanted God to be like themselves, to act like a normal human being. But God is not like us. He's God and He's perfect. Amen. Now, in the desert, Moses, he tried to convince God that he was not the right man for the job God was asking him to do. And he gave good excuses, but none of them was accepted by God. Now, if you have a job interview and you tell your prospective boss that you cannot speak and nobody ever listens to you, do you think you're going to get that job? Of course not. And that's exactly what Moses was trying to do, to discourage God from having him as his servant. And Moses was not lying. Moses was not exaggerating when he told God he was not capable. He was right. None of us is actually capable. There's no problem, you know, understanding our limitations. There's no problem understanding that we are not capable of doing anything without God. Now, his biggest mistake was to overlook God's power, God's ability, because God does not use us because of ourselves, but he uses us in spite of ourselves. Everybody here, it doesn't matter if you are well-educated, if you have if you have many talents, we are all used by God's grace and in spite of ourselves. The Bible says, "For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." So even tonight, God is looking inside our hearts, and He knows where we can be used, and He knows how He can use us. So Moses was sincere, but his excuses were not accepted. The Apostle Paul says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world." God has chosen the weak things of the world. And this is me, and this is you. Before the world, we are foolish, but before God, we are more than conquerors. So God wants to use us. God wants to use who we are. God wants to use what we have, even when we do not understand His ways. So let us see, first of all, why God did not call Moses when Moses was a young man. Humanly speaking, it seems that God made a mistake. Moses was young, he was strong, and he held an important position in the land of Egypt. And yet, God did not call him back then to be his servant, to do his work. God did not care for those advantages. And God waited until Moses was a nobody in the desert. He was a nobody in the desert. He had no influence whatsoever in the desert. And he was an old man when God called him for the ministry. Only the Lord knew that Moses was not prepared to be called when he was a little younger. Remember, the Lord sees the heart. And there are two possible reasons that Moses could not be called when he was only 40. First of all, he was impatient. Remember, without permission, without direction from God, Moses went ahead and killed an Egyptian in order to protect a Jew. But he was not told to do that. He did it because he was impulsive. He did it because he was an angry man. He did it because he decided to do it. And because of that action, he became a renegade. And he had to flee. And he was in the desert for 40 years because of his impatience. In Portuguese, there is a saying that impatience is the enemy of perfection. Don't you agree with that? Impatience is the enemy of perfection. And I believe this is right. An impatient doctor will kill his patient before healing him. Or a police officer that's impatient will shoot first and ask later. So impatience is the enemy of perfection. Now, it is amazing to know that after 40 years in the desert, Moses became a very patient man. The Bible says he was the most meek man on the face of the earth. He was self-controlled. The only time that Moses showed uncontrolled anger, he was severely punished by God. He was supposed to speak to the rock, which symbolized the Lord Jesus Christ, but instead, out of anger and frustration, he hit the rock twice, and because of that, he was never allowed to enter the promised land. Why is that so important? Because we can easily forget a smile. We can easily forget a warm handshake. But we never forget an angry person. We don't forget his expressions. We don't forget his, the veins around his neck. We don't forget his words. We don't forget the color of his eyes. You know, that's something we never forget. And yet, we find bitterness among God's people all the time because impatience leads to anger. Now, as a missionary, or as missionaries, because we have more than one here tonight, our purpose is not only to build buildings. Perhaps building buildings is the easiest part of the ministry, in spite of the money we need for that. But our main job is to build people, and that takes a lot of time. We are not on the mission field only to teach, but to make sure that people are learning. Like here tonight, we don't sing in the choir only for singing, but to worship, but to help the church to worship our God. And that takes time. But when we are impatient, we like activities. We like to be part of some activities, but we don't like to deal with people. We don't like to work with people. Now, this is the secret. If Jesus dealt for 3 years with his disciples and the Pharisees, we can deal with one another without frustration. An elderly man, an old man, he was in his job, in his workplace, and he was severely rebuked by his boss, who was half of his age. His boss was not respectful at all. And someone saw that and came to the old man and said, how can you put up with that young man? How can you accept him treating you like that? And the elderly man said, well, if my boss has to live with him for the rest of his life, I can certainly put up with him for a few hours a day. See, this is wisdom. This is what we call patience. Now, many Christians are praying for patience, but they want it now. They want it yesterday. They cannot wait. But the Bible says that patience is the result of tribulation. So at the age of 40, Moses was impatient. Now at the age of 80, he was meek. Now another possible reason that he was not called a little earlier, Moses was a loner. What's a loner? A desert can make you a self-centered person. His education, his position in Egypt also made him a self-centered person. Moses was used to do everything by himself. Then his father-in-law, at the beginning of his ministry, noticed that, called his attention, and Moses decided to share his ministry, his leadership, with other people. Now, I have noticed that a loner has no time to pray, has no time to read his Bible, has no time to seek counsel. He does everything by himself. But I also have learned that nobody can do the work of God by himself. Nobody. I don't know your life, but I promise one thing. Whatever you have tonight, whatever you are tonight, God used other people to help you to accomplish what you have accomplished. Nobody here has done anything that's important without help from other people. And the work of God is not different. The work of God takes more than one person to be done. Nobody can do the work of God by himself. We need help from children, we need help from young people, and from adults. I remember, and you saw in the DVD, when we began the first church, just the three of us back then, my wife, my little baby, my oldest daughter, and I. And Rochelle was just a little baby, and yet God used that little baby to attract other people to the church. We remember some kids from the neighborhood. They liked the baby Rochelle so much that they make point of coming to the services just to be able to hold baby Rochelle. And because they came, they brought their parents with them. So God used a little baby to help us to start a church there in the city of Goiânia. That shows you we need help even from babies. Then when we went to the south of Brazil to begin the third church, God used my two teenage daughters to help us with the church. We began the church there, just the four of us. We didn't know anybody in the city. And God used my daughters as well to help me to do his work. Now, I might have some problems in the ministry. We missionaries are funny people. We like to write letters numbering all the blessings, right, that we have conquered in the ministry. But we don't share, you know, the problems that we have caused in the ministry, because we also make mistakes. But we don't let you know about those mistakes, do we? But we do have problems. We make mistakes just like anybody else. But let me tell you that being a loner is not one of my problems. I'm not a loner, and I know there's nothing to gain in being a loner. I need help, first of all, from my family, from the people that the Lord has given us, the various people the Lord has given us in our churches in Brazil, and definitely I need help from my sending churches here in the States, because the work of God is not the work of a man. The work of God is the work of a people. Is the work of a people. And let me say this to you. When we depend on the pastors, on the deacons, to grow the church will not grow as fast. And let me say that pastors do not produce sheep. Sheep produce sheep. Amen? There are some people that only you can reach for God and nobody else. And if you want to grow your church, you need to do your part. It's everybody working together that will make the work of God go forward and be prosperous and be successful. That's the idea here. Much more could be done for the kingdom of God if we did not worry about who is getting the credit. That doesn't matter. God is getting the honor. But first of all, we need to overcome our impatience and our loneliness in the ministry. Another question about Moses. Who was Moses to serve the Lord? Moses asked that question. He was in the desert. Now he was a nobody. Now he was an old man. So he decided to challenge God by asking, "Who am I? Why are you calling me to serve you?" But you know what? Go to your Bible. God never answered that question. God never told him who he was. God never, you know, God did not bother to answer that question because it was not relevant. So when Moses noticed that God was not going to answer him, Moses asked another question. But why did Moses ask, "Who am I?" Well, when Moses was 40 years old, he was young, he was important, he was well educated. But now, as an old man, he's asking, "Who am I?" Moses thought that God could not use him since he was no longer young and strong and important. Much the opposite. God was teaching him a precious lesson, as he's teaching all of us here tonight. We are what we are, rich or poor, well-educated or not, young or old, by the grace of God. That's what we are. So Moses decided to ask another question. "Who is the Lord?" Now God responded him, "I am what I am." It means I am the God of the past, of the present, of the future. I am self-existent, and I exist because of myself. Moses, it doesn't matter who you are, but you go to the Egyptians because they make their own gods, and you tell them that I am has sent you to them. They make their own gods, but tell them I made them, and I was not made by anybody. The Egyptians made their own gods, but now the God of Israel was trying to show them the true God. And this wonderful God appeared in the New Testament, and he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He said, I am the good shepherd, I am the door, I am the resurrection, I am the light of the world, I am the bread of life, I am the Christ. So Moses was called to speak up about God, and we are called to speak up about Jesus, amen. It doesn't matter who Ron Ribeiro is, Gene Leslie, it doesn't matter who you are, but the God we serve and the God we want to proclaim, this is the one that we must make known before the world. And he is well deserving of that. Moses said, I cannot speak. God said, I made the mouth, I made the ears, I made the eyes. So whatever you can't, I can, God said. Now let me say this to you. I used to be a professional bartender, barkeeper, when I was only 12 years of age. And I knew how to mix all kinds of drinks. My father had a bar, and I worked with him in the bar. And when my father was not around, I was mixing strong drink with my Coke, and I was drinking. And I was dreaming about the day that I could become just like one of my father's customers. But then one day, Jimmy Rose, he came to the bar not to drink, but to preach the word of God. And he told my father, he challenged my father to sell this bar, to save his son from a bad future. And my father accepted the challenge. So God, you know, this wonderful God, he took me behind the counter of a bar, and he put me behind the pulpit of a church. Only God can do that. And God can do that for all of us if we give him a chance and an opportunity. Who am I? It doesn't matter. Who is Moses? It doesn't matter. Who is the God we serve? He is Jehovah, and he wants to use us. And since September 11, I like to say that my God is Jehovah. I don't say just God anymore, because you know, the world is trying to use the word God, and God is the same. No, he's not the same. The only God that I know, the only God that I know that exists, is the God of the Bible. Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. And the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the only God. And we are supposed to proclaim him and his wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you went to college or not. It doesn't matter your background, your past. It doesn't matter, as long as you're serving the right God. Another question that we must ask about Moses. What did Moses have to offer God? The Bible says here, he had a simple rod, which he used to lead his flock. A rod without any value. A rod he found anywhere. A rod that could be replaced by another rod. But after that rod was offered to God, it became a very powerful tool in his ministry, in his life. It was used during the 10 plagues of Egypt. It was used to open the Red Sea. It was used to drain water from the rock in the desert. Likewise, God can use whatever we have tonight to offer him and transform it into a very special tool. A little boy once said, I have 5 loaves of bread and I have 2 fishes. But someone told him, that's not enough. Keep it. Keep it for yourself. That's not enough to feed thousands of people. But he didn't listen to that, and he still offered his meal to Jesus. And once that meal was offered to Jesus, Jesus prayed and multiplied, and he fed about 15,000 people. When I got saved, I offered God what I had. I offered God what I was. I was very poor. If you work in a barn, if your father has a barn, you're poor. So when I went to church, I had only a pair of shoes, a pair of pants, and a shirt. Now you may say, but that's good enough to go to church. Yes, the problem is that my shoes were so old that they had holes in the sole. Both shoes had holes in the sole, and of course the socks too. And sometimes my pastor would preach, and I felt the desire to come to the altar, but I would not come to the altar because I did not want anybody to see the holes in my shoes. My pants, they were old pants, and I had already outgrown my pants, and they looked like Bermudas more than they did pants. You know, they were almost, you know, close to my knees. The zipper of my pants was broken, and I had to use a paper clip to keep it up. And the shirt I had was faded, and it was not my size. It was big. And yet, I went to church for several weeks with that shirt, with that pants, and with those shoes, because that's all I had to offer God. But you know what? He accepted. And in less than a year, I had more pants, more shoes, and more shirts that I could wear to go to church. Amen. So the only offering God cannot use tonight is the one that you don't offer Him. It doesn't matter the size. You're going to have a faith promise renewal, and you might be thinking, but what I can give is so little. I will not give it because it's not going to make any difference. You're wrong. It will make a huge difference. Just like Moses' rod. He was saying, I'm a nobody, I have nothing to offer. And God said, okay, what do you have in your hands? A rod? That's good enough for me. Just give it to me, and I'll take care of the rest. What do you have tonight that you can offer God? I'll tell you, you have time. I know time is the number one excuse we give for not serving God. I don't have time for church. I don't have time for prayer. I don't have time for evangelism. I don't have time for people. But you know, everybody in the world has the same amount of time, 24 hours a day. And yet we say we don't have time. The Bible says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. How many of you believe Jesus is about to come back? He is. More than ever. And we need to redeem our time. What a blessing to know I have time today to do something for God. Yesterday will never come back. When we look back, we remember good and bad things that happened to us. And yet, even God will not change what happened yesterday. That's why the Bible teaches us to go forward, to forget the things of the past, and go forward, because yesterday will never come back. Tomorrow, we don't know if we have tomorrow. Tomorrow belongs to God. But we have today. Today is my only time to do what is right for God and for my family. And what else do we have? Life. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you are here, it is because you are alive. And if you are alive, you have a life that you can offer to God. I think Tori remembers this man. He was 74 when he got saved. And he could not read. And he decided to learn how to read so he could read the Bible. Remember that? So it took him like 2 years. And he learned how to read. And when he was 77, he died. He died. But you know, he decided that he was going to surrender his life to do something good for God. It doesn't matter our age. We can give our lives to God. Life is like a vapor that appears for a little moment and vanishes away. My pastor lost his son some years ago. His son was only 47. And my pastor said, His life was so short, and it was. But even if you live to be 100, life is still short. That's why we cannot waste time, and we need to surrender our lives to our God. Besides his simple rod, Moses offered his time and his life unto the Lord. What do you have tonight in your hands that you can also offer God? Time, life, talents. You will never regret serving God wholeheartedly. Never. May God bless you. Let's close our eyes and pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much that you have allowed us to serve you. You have allowed us to be saved and to be called by your name. Lord, sometimes I feel that we fail more than we do right. And in spite of that, you are so patient, so long-suffering, and you are the God of opportunities. And you are always willing to give us another chance. Lord, tonight I see in this church young people, adults, even elderly people, Father. And I know you have a plan for each one of them here tonight. But they all must come before you and say, Father, here is my life. Here is my time. Please take it and use it according to your will. Help us all to do that. Help us to surrender whatever we are and whatever we have, and let you use it for eternity, for your honor and your glory. Because, Father, whatever investments we are making in this world will be left behind. But all the investments we are making in serving God will follow us to eternity. So I pray that, like Moses, we will stop giving excuses, but we will allow you to use whatever we are and whatever we have for your glory. May the word of God have spoken in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name. Pastor Leslie.
Given in faith prompts, the Lord has an amount that he wants you to give. Find out what it is, and then let God work a miracle in your life. Our people have increased their faith greatly in this church over the years in faith prompts. When the Lord lays an amount on their heart, and they say, Lord, I'll give it if you'll supply the need. Maybe you need to come to the altar tonight about that. And we're going to sing this song right now, Brother Gary. If the Lord's speaking to your heart, why don't you just come tonight? Give him your life. Talk to him about that situation. How much you need to put down on that faith promise. This altar's open. Let's use this altar. You've heard a great message. Just the Lord wants you. He wants you to surrender to him. He can use you if you'll be dedicated and surrendered to him. Come on, as we sing. I
Let's sing it again. Say a word about faith promise. Now, it's been down through the years. And when we first started it, I didn't hardly understand what I was doing myself. I knew the Lord was leading me. And I'm glad you don't have to always understand. You just follow the Lord. And then this thing of faith. Now, if the Lord lays something on your heart, you say, Lord, I don't know how to do it, but if you'll supply the need, watch the Lord work in your life. I know a number of them testify. You started out, the Lord just wanted to increase it. You didn't know how you were going to, and they kept increasing it. They had more. As they increased faith promise, God started blessing and started blessing. So you bring God in on this faith promise, folks. Business will pick up. You know, that's one thing that I don't like about being retired. I can't give. Brother Jack said, I heard him the first time when he retired. Said, couldn't give as much, but we're going to still give what we can, brother, as the Lord leads us. Okay? And give, listen, you may not give much, but give what the Lord wants you to give. And some can give, some come in, they can give hundreds of dollars, and others just a dollar or five. And if we put it all together, it's a mighty offering for the glory of God. Well, you've heard enough preaching today, and I didn't get to preach tonight, so I had to do a little preaching anyway. Brother Rom, you and your family want to go out in the lobby there, foyer, vestibule, whatever you want to call it, and go by. Folks, this is I'd like for you to see his work in Brazil. I mean, he's done a great job for me. Let's stand and be dismissed. Brother Harry Vickers, would you pray especially now for this faith promise, brother?